I realized that the title on my online Spreaker account says The Hands of God. That's because my real title wouldn't fit. My actual title, I'd like to call it, is The Spirit of Christ plus The Hands of God equals The Church in Action. The Spirit of Christ plus The Hands of God equals The Church in Action. I get this title from my text, which is Luke 23 and verse 46, Luke chapter 23, verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. This is that moment in time we all know, we're familiar with, Jesus dying on the cross, giving that perfect ultimate sacrifice. And he does something here, and I want to look at it. The hand of God, the hands of God is what I want to look at. Specifically, why he's using the word hand. We know God's a spirit, but he specifies that part of God, the hand. The hand is that part of the body that puts the eyes, the tongue, the heart, and the mind into action. God has not given man the swiftness of an eagle. Some men are flying a little too high as it is. God has not given us the eyes of an eagle. Some of us already see too much as it is. God has not given man the hearing of a canine. Some of us definitely hear too much already as it is. God has not given us the sense of a bloodhound because, well, some of us are nosy enough as it is. God has not given us the daisied plumage of a peacock. Of course, some of us strut too much as it is. But because of the hand, we can fly with a spaceship to where the eagles can never fly. Because of the hand, we can see with a telescope things that the eagle will never see. Because of the hand, we can hear with the radio things that the dog can never hear. With the internet, we can track down people that a bloodhound could never pick up a scent on, and we can even strut around on the moon where the peacock could never possibly go, all because of the hand. Let's dissect the hand for just a moment or two. The human hand contains 27 bones, the same amount that there is books of the New Testament. It has 12 joints, the same amount that there was original disciples of Jesus Christ. The hand has 4 fingers, the same amount that there is gospels according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of the life of Jesus Christ. The hand has 3 scientific parts, the wrist, the palm, and the phalanges, the same amount as there are members of the Godhead, including the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And the hand has 1 thumb, the same exact number as there is real living gods, 1. Praise God. I'll throw one more in for good measure in case you thought I missed it, but the hand also has 46 muscles, and that happens to be the same amount of years that it took to build the new temple at Jerusalem. How can you see the science, the facts, the spirit, all things working together like that and not see God in action? Over 1,440 times in the Bible, it speaks of hands. The Bible speaks about striking hands, powerful hands, good hands, outstretched hands, folded hands, blessed hands, evil hands, feeble hands, wounded hands, withheld hands, dirty hands, clean hands, holy hands, heavy hands, bloody hands, anointed hands, lifted hands, shackled hands, withered hands, loving hands, and on and on and on. The hand always is the action of man. The hand can feel to search. It can touch to love. It can point in anger. It can knuckle up to fight. It can climb to heighten, push to ascend, pull to succeed, invite for company, direct to guide, clap for joy, write to communicate, fold to pray, open to receive, walk through the yellow pages. It can thread needles and paint pictures, tickle for fun, shake in nervousness, sweat through fear, communicate with the deaf through sign language. It can give the thumbs up for approval. It can give the thumbs down for disapproval. It can wipe tears. It can embrace. It can pick pockets. It can even embrace and pick pockets at the same time. The hand is the most precise instrument on the planet Earth. A person can have an odd-looking nose or a strange-shaped face, a slouched stature, a few freckles, a lot of freckles, birthmarks, pigeon toes. But the fingerprint of man is the most distinct trait of the of all humanity, right down to their very DNA. The fingerprint method of distinction has proven to be the only infallible form of identity for decades and decades and decades. No amount of technology has been able to be more precise than what God has already done with the hand. Even perfectly identical twins have completely different fingerprints. The hand is the great storyteller of a man's experiences in life. People that are professionally experienced in interviewing can tell a lot about how a man folds his hands, holds his hands, or cannot find a restful place for his hands. The polygraph, the lie detector, operates on the scientific assumption that the hand is the servant of the brain, and it is. What would this world be like for you and I without the marvelous masterpiece of God known as the human hand? It is what sets us apart from every other creature in the physical world. We cannot brush our teeth without them, comb our hair without them, button our buttons without them, drive our cars or cook our food. Without hands, there would be no houses, no buildings, no factories, no landscaping, no radios, telephones, airplanes, no electric lights. Think of your life without the God-given human hand. No handshakes of friendship, no letters written to console a hurting loved one, no written music to calm the soul, no paintings painted to stir the emotions. Who is a physician without a hand to hold a scalpel? Who is a writer without a hand to hold the pen? Who is a farmer without a hand to steady the plow? Even the blindest and most ignorant of men have been changed for the better by reading of the great writings of wisdom and truth. Wisdom and truth that would not be able to have been written, typed, pressed, or mass-produced and spread without hands. Mankind would not be able to have the superiority that God commanded over all the other beasts of the field without the hand that the Lord provided him with to create. Bow, arrow, gun, bullet, cage. God literally put man on the throne of carnal things of the earth when he blessed him with this opposable thumb and hand. Medical science and psychology tells us that you can understand a few things by the way a man just shakes your hand. There are so many different kinds of hands that tell you something about the man. If he has soft hands, if he has rough hands, if he gives you a light handshake or a strong handshake or a long handshake or a shake with a pat on the back or a shake with an embrace. This tells you something not just about his hand but about his heart. God asked Moses, "What's that in your hand?" With the actions of your hand, you can build or tear down. God asks, "What's that in your hand?" With the actions in your hand, you can make or you can break. God asks, "What's that in your hand?" With their very hands, Adam and Eve took of the forbidden fruit. With his hand, the Bible tells us that Adam and Eve's son Cain slew his brother Abel. With these first two generations, man broke all covenants with God, and they did it with their hands. But Abraham had a new covenant, and Abraham, with his hand, he took a knife to sacrifice Isaac. The action of your hand shows your obedient or your disobedient heart towards God. With a willing heart and obedient mind, David put a sling in his hand, Moses a rod in his hand, Gideon and his troops trumpets and lanterns in their hands, Mary an alabaster box in her hand, Dorcas a needle and a thread, even Jesus a little boy's lunch in his hands. But with that little boy's lunch in his hands, he would produce a one-day free fish market and bakery shop on a hillside. Well, say what you will, but write it on your church signs. Explain it in your seminaries, your seminars. Tell it over the phone. Put it in your pamphlets. But the world will know what is in your heart, your mind, and your soul more by the actions of your hands than anything else you say or do. Give a blanket. Slam a door. Stab in the back. Hold a child close. Pat someone on the back. Or shake a fist at that same someone. The world will see through your hand what God already knew from your heart. Look down through history with me. What's that in your hand, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? It's an ink pen. We're going to write the four great gospels of Jesus Christ. What's that in your hand, John Bunyan? I have a pen as well to write Pilgrim's Progress to enlighten a whole new age. What's in your hand, Martin Luther? It's my 99 thesis. I'm going to nail it to the Pope's wall in protest against indulgence in the church. What do you got in your hand there, George Washington Carver? It's just a peanut, but with it, God is going to help me make over 100 products, drive out the boll weevil, and spare America from agricultural ruin. What's in your hand, Pastor? What's in your hand, Preacher? What's in your hand, Mother, Father, Saint, Sunday school teacher, helper, friend, neighbor? And what are you going to do with it for God? What's in your hand, Sloggett? In my hand is Holiness Missions to America. With it, I intend, by the help of God, to tell a lost and dying world that has been beat up by the devil, kicked around by a selfish church, and they've wallowed themselves in the mire of depression and sin and self-pity. I intend to tell them by what's in my hand that there is a God that is still alive and he's still well. He still lives and breathes and loves and beckons and forgives. He is still holy. He is still just. He is still righteous and he is still true. Oh, he is a real, real, real God. No matter how many times that you've seen him faked, I'm here to tell you by what's in my hand that he's real, by what he helps me do in action every day. Now, even more than just the hand of man, I want to talk about the hand of God. I'm actually talking about anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism means describing God with human-like attributes. God is a spirit. In that sense, he does not have a body or body parts, but we must use anthropomorphism to talk about him. The face of God, the breath of God, the finger of God, the hand of God. Does God have hands? Yes, he does, because I've seen his hands working in my life. I have felt the hand of God when it reached way, way down for me. I've been touched by the finger of God way down deep in my soul when I needed him the most, and he assured me that he was still there for me. Are God's hands just like these physical hands of mine? I really don't know, but I do know he has hands. Even in our text today, Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. God even uses anthropomorphism. God was the one that introduced anthropomorphism to impress upon us the things that he can and will do. Hands are always a symbol of action, a symbol of doing. God has doing, so God must have hands. In our understanding, God has doing hands. God has healing hands when he touched the blinded eyes. He has leading hands when he says, come and follow me. He has sacrificial hands, the ones that were pierced by nails, God's hands. But the whole point of my message today is this. God intends on you and I to be his hands here on earth today. This moment in our text is where Christ commended his spirit into the hands of God. Lots of people claim that when you leave something of value with them, then they say, well, don't worry, it's in good hands. You remember the old Allstate commercials. It says Allstate Automobile Insurance Company says, you're in good hands with Allstate. Let me tell you something. I've been in trouble in the middle of the night, and Allstate was not going to be there to answer me. But God's hands were felt when I needed them in the very, very most. And when I put things in God's hands, it's in the best possible hands. Jesus said, Father, I leave it in your hands. Does that mean that Jesus was not going to do anything anymore? No, that meant that now he had even more to do. This moment when the Spirit of Christ was laid in the hands of the Father is the moment that all of time is divided by. Before the New Testament church and after the New Testament church. Before the blood and after the blood. Before we had an intercessor and after we had an intercessor. Before the mass outpouring of the Holy Ghost power and after the mass outpouring of the Holy Ghost power. Before the Gentile call and after the Gentile call. All took place. It was divided, the before and the after, right here when Christ put his Spirit into the hands, the working, doing hands of God. Let me put it this way if I can for a minute. Have you ever planned on doing a job and you had to make plans and count the cost and gather materials and hire workers, and then at some point you looked it all over and you said, okay, now it's time to get to work. God had a plan all along. Jesus counted the cost. He gathered the materials. He hired the workers. And then he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. What's he saying? Well, when he said hands, he's saying it's time to get to work. The hand is the worker of the heart, the actions of the thoughts, the servant of the soul, the doer of the mind. This is where the plan was complete and ready to go into action. Jesus did everything he was supposed to do, and this is where God called you and I into the picture. If we can be the hands of the Master, it will be well. If we can produce actions of love, actions of selflessness, actions of mercy, if we can see broken hearts, lives, marriages, homes, ministries, and churches, and we can be the hands that help put them back together, the hands that pull the load, the hands that carry the weight, the hands that steady the stranger and pat and console. Oh, church, there is a lot to be said for prayer, a lot to be said for study, a lot to be said for preaching, but someday it has to come down to some doing. I'm glad that you are a Christian with your clothes and you stay covered up. I'm glad that you're a Christian with your lips and you don't say vain and profane things. I'm glad that you're a Christian with your eyes and you only look at things that you're supposed to look at. I'm glad that you're a Christian with your mind and you think on good and wholesome thoughts. But at some point, friend, if you're going to be a part of this New Testament biblical Christian church, you're going to have to be a Christian with your hands also. You're going to have to put action behind our theology. You see, you can't give a cup of cold water in his name without your hands. Listen, I know what everybody's going to say. They're going to say, well, that brother Todd, he's preaching about salvation according to works. No, I'm not. I'm preaching about salvation and then some works. Jesus died that he could submit to God's hands, so that you and I could die, so that we could submit to God's hands. Because when we work as the hands of God, we will build more than we destroy. We will put back together more than we take apart. We will fix more than we break. Somebody said, God tears things down too, preacher. Yes, I know he does, but that is not the job that he gave you and me to do. God kept for himself the tearing down. God said, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. But he also said, I send you. And he said, go tell somebody. He talked about visiting the sick and lifting up the feeble hands that hang down. God gave us the building and he got the tearing down. Yes, God does the healing. But sometimes we are his hands during that process. Yes, God does the calling. But sometimes we are his hands during that process. God does the patching up, but you and I are his hands during the process. We are the doers and not the hearers only. Is somebody out here that is saved, but God sent somebody to get you? They were the hands of God. Is somebody here that was lonely, but God sent you a friend? They were the hands of God. somebody here that, oh, listen to me, for the hands of God to work to build the kingdom. Jesus went through all of that he went through, great torture and pain, loss of friends, loss of family, despised and rejected, mocked and slapped and spat upon and pierced. And then he said, Father, into your hands. Can I say it like this? Into your people, into your church, into your saints, I commend my spirit. The Spirit of Christ is a loving spirit, a forgiving spirit, a holy spirit, a kind spirit, a generous spirit. The Spirit of Christ is a busy spirit, a working, an active, a concerned spirit. Is this sounding like your spirit? If you have received the Spirit of Christ, you should be building up, holding together, reaching out. We are to take on the mind of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, but do not forget the works of Christ. Have you ever seen a person that didn't have their hands? They're deformed. It doesn't look quite right. They're often limited in what they can accomplish. They must come up with alternative ways to accomplish simple tasks. You better watch me real close right here, local church. The church is without the use of their hands that Jesus was speaking of. They are deformed churches. Those churches are in the communities, but those churches appear awkward looking to the community. Those churches are limited on what they can accomplish, and they must begin to come up with alternative ways to accomplish things. Instead of growth through doing and outreach and work in the community and love and help and building and partnering, maybe a church without hands will have to grow through scare tactics or grow through indoctrination processes. Come on right here. I will tell you the truth if nothing else. Why not just be the hands? All the way from the time that Christ commended his spirit to the Father until the very imminent until his very imminent return, there are two primary jobs of the church. We as the body of believers in him are to try our best to fill his two unquenchable appetites, worship and converts. Are we coming anywhere near fulfilling either one? Number one, worship. God is so holy, so awesome, so righteous that we are to evermore give him glory and praise and honor. He's never praised enough. He's never worshiped enough. One of the easiest ways to do this is with the lifting of holy hands. I don't know about you, but do you ever really get in his presence and not want to raise your hands to him? I don't know what that really, I'm not fully aware of everything that that signifies, but when I get around him and I get near him and I get to feeling him, I want to lift my hand up to him. And somehow that makes me feel like I'm blessing him somehow, which is exactly what I want to do. I find myself feeling him sometimes while I'm driving down the road because I drive the interstates of America so much. And every once in a while, as I'm feeling God helping me, my hand will just go up. One hand will stay on the steering wheel and the other one will go up just a little bit. And I'll feel my knuckles touching the top of the roof of the car. And what I'm doing is I'm trying to praise him. And somehow that generally includes my hand. The second thing is to bring others to him, to not waste his glorious and perfect sacrifice. It is great to try to win others to Christ so that they won't go to hell. That's a good thing. But even more so, you should be trying to win others to Christ because he wants them. Again, it's for him and his glory. We are in his service and we are his hands. You know, there are a few hand gestures that are almost completely universal around the entire world. And one of them is that backwards wave, putting your hand out there and pulling it back towards yourself. That always means come. Come. In Revelation 22 and 17, towards the very, very, very end, the Bible said, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. How do we convince others to come to our Jesus? Come to our fold. Come to our church. Come to our God. In action. In action. How do you have action without hands? We are the hands of a working God. In history, during a great battle, a fight, country versus country, some men fooled and tricked others to believe that they were on their side and they really intended to destroy them. And this quote came from that period of time. The quote was, "They only came to burn bridges, not build cities." They only came to burn bridges, not build cities. I want us to be known for the exact opposite. I want someone to look at us someday and say, "They only came to build bridges, not burn down cities." Praise God. When and why did doing, building, and helping become less spiritual than picking up the phone and telling what you heard about brother so-and-so? Hands do not eavesdrop. Hands do not tell tales. They work. They work. Jesus was raised up in a carpenter shop. I believe that he was a young builder, and I know that as he grew older, he was definitely a builder. He was handpicking his crew all through the New Testament. The master builder has a kingdom to build. He left us here under the direction of the job site boss, the sweet Holy Ghost. And we are to produce. This isn't our building. This isn't our job site. Can you imagine if a young man was hired on halfway through a big construction job that they were building, and after he got on and got a little experience, he just decided to start tearing out parts that he didn't think went real good, and just firing people left and right without really the authority to, and just going by his opinion? Watch me real close, church. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing when he used a little anthropomorphism, when he said, "Into thy hands." Here is Jesus, our great example. The Spirit of Christ plus the hands of God equals the church in action. I know what everybody's so worried about, charismaticism and all that. I know. I know that a lot of people have tried to do a lot without the Spirit of Christ behind them. But we have had the Spirit of Christ for quite some time now, and we are doing very little with it. You tell me which is worse. James 1:22 said, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Into thy hands. The Spirit of Christ plus the hands of God equals the church in action. Positive, progressing, forward action. Anybody can be on the devil's demolition crew. But who wants to be on Christ's construction crew?